Hi, I'm Jim Bakia, and welcome to my podcast, Be You, The World Will Adjust. So, it's been a busy week. I've been really busy, as a matter of fact. I've spent a lot of time talking to my clients and to people that I coach individually, and we're at the end of our government-imposed quarantine, and we're now able to go for a walk, of course, with the appropriate social distancing, and hopefully, keep my fingers crossed, or within eyesight of the golf courses being opened in Ontario. We haven't made the move to the cottage due to the Arctic chill still hanging around up there. But when we do, I fully expect for a chill from the people up north who've forgotten that the properties we are going to are ours. We pay our taxes, which have built your hockey rinks and community centers, and we contribute extensively to your local economy, creating jobs and opportunities for those of you that choose to live up north all year round. We do all kinds of stuff to make your world up there, where we are part-time residents, a better place. So please do not tell me when and when I cannot go to my own home. Last I checked, we're still in a democracy, notwithstanding that we're walking a fine line on our civil liberties, but I think that's enough about that. It's one of those things that really, really irritates me. I don't know why people think they have the right to do that. I understand if governments, you know, make certain things, but stories I've heard about up there are absolutely shocking. Call lines set up to report people from Toronto, police going to their door and suggesting, because they have no law to be able to send you home, suggesting that you go home. So anyways, enough about that. So where are we? Well, we continue to adjust. We continue to evolve, creating new routines. And in our household, one of them has been watching my daughter, Emma, the chef and founder of Emma's Eatery, do a live Instagram cooking show feed every Thursday night at 6 p.m. It's been awesome and so much fun. Out of the ashes come new ideas and joys. And this is definitely one of those for us. What has been interesting to watch is how quickly Emma is evolving her live broadcast, configuring it, figuring out how to make it better, taking recommendations from people, sifting through them. And every week, it's a different broadcast. It's a little bit better, and it keeps evolving. Figuring out how to make it better. Isn't that what we're all trying to do in every aspect of our lives, whether it be work, family, friends, and new acquaintances? Well, there's not much of that. Well, maybe a few, especially if you're in the cold calling business in order to generate business, like my son Ed and I. Establishing new routines that are constantly evolving, requiring an openness that we have never needed in the past, is actually good for all of us, especially those of you that have had your entire lives anchored by routine. Knows that their stability comes from knowing exactly what lies ahead today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and a year from now. Fortunately, that's not me. Shockers, if you've been listening to my podcast. I think that is why, despite these horrendous times we're in, I'm actually excited about the opportunities that lay ahead of us. Not that it won't be difficult to figure out, but I guess for me, the enjoyment is in trying to solve this Rubik's Cube around winners and losers. My wife, Jennifer, tells me that my podcast needs some uplifting dialogue, as I would put it. She might say that the last ones are filled with a bit of depressing news. As you can see with the difference in those two statements, the state of how we both see the world. For me, the difference is that to make good informed decisions, you need to listen to all sides of predictions in order to be in a position to best triangulate a result that you add to your own view. The question is, how can you have a view without knowing what people think is the good, the bad, and the ugly about the future? In my case, and I'm sure like many, many other people, my reading list has grown exponentially, probably because I'm locked away, so like so many others, probably because I'm not on the golf course as often as I am. Yet it's not only grown in volume, I found that during this time, I forced myself to expand that knowledge in diversity of thought, political points of view, self-interest, and figuring out that if I can listen without emotion to what is being said and written, I have a greater likelihood of being able to see and figure out where to look for the light at the end of the tunnel. However, the one thing I know for sure is that the light won't be where I initially thought it would be when I get there, because I will be continually adding new information in my analysis that will help me make adjustments along the way. So you're probably wondering, how do I expand my access to more views, to more concepts, to more thoughts, to more opinions? You know, I guess for me, I would say that, you know, I have traditionally sort of had a narrow band of things that I read. I enjoy reading the New York Times, but I've expanded my subscriptions to the Wall Street Journal, to the Guardian in the UK, to the Financial Times. Most of my life is centered around that sort of environment, but I've also opened it up to the Medium. I use LinkedIn, not just for posting and everything else, but reading other people's stories, reading stories that people recommended. It's kind of like pulling a thread on a sweater. I see something that might be of interest, and then I might share it. But in addition to sharing it, I actually go into the website of that company that's doing that article and start to read more and more of it so that I can just keep expanding that base of knowledge. I try not only to read the front page, I try to read not only the business section, I try to read styles, I try to read stories, I try to read about people's plights, I try to read about companies, I read about companies going under, I read about companies that are rising out of the ashes. It's using every avenue of every online source. My kids are an unbelievable source of knowledge for me because they read stuff that's completely different. And, you know, my son Jack in travel, my son Sam in the sort of AI world, Eddie in the sales world, my daughter Nora in the UK, in the world of food and corporations, my son-in-law Pat is a teacher, what they're going through. So the litany of places where I can gather information that's coming in over the transom, the only thing that stops me from knowing more and not knowing more is pushing a button and getting a little further. And whether it's Flipboard or even Instagram or Facebook, and just constantly seeking out stories and finding ones that's fascinating. I'm gonna follow that thread, not just sort of flip through the LinkedIn, but there are stories galore, and they're not just for reposting. In some cases, that's what I do, but they're for educating myself about other people's perspectives. A friend of mine sent me a note this morning on Christine Lagarde, who's part of the ECB, European Central Bank. And the Bloomberg host asked her, what's on top of your worry list as a central banker? And, you know, most people think inflation, this, that. She actually said two things. The first is war, but not trade war, real wars. And she said the second is another wave of COVID-19 outbreaks. And people are like, what? Are you kidding me? Now, I don't actually believe it's going to be war, but what I do want to do is understand why she thinks that. What is she seeing that makes her think that? And so I do a little more research into that. I haven't done it yet, but I sent him a note back saying, you know what? I know you think she's crazy, but I don't think anybody's crazy. I don't think what anybody thinks may happen or may not happen is crazy. And it's our job and our role and our necessity to chase down all of this stuff, to understand, why does she think that? Why do people think what they think? Why do people think, why is the stock market diverging? I read a great article in The Economist against the economy. Stock market's going one way, the real economy that people are feeling is going the other way. How is that possible? At some point, that has to get reconciled. So I'm trying to do some reading. You know, what is it that makes the people that are buying stocks more optimistic? And what is it? What's the reality of the pessimism and the job layoffs and the corporations and stuff like that? I don't have that knowledge. I'm just not that smart. So I got to go find it somewhere else. And thanks to this online world that we're in, we have a lot of places to find it. So do yourself a favor, pull that thread on the sweater and keep chasing it down. You'll be amazed at what you find, and you'll be even more amazed at what you learn. This is an exercise that everyone and every company are trying to do today. So if it's confusing or unsettling, you're in great company. The rest of the world is doing the same. So you probably wonder, why should that make me feel better? Is it a function that misery loves company? Yes, that's usually true. But no, that's not why it should make you feel better. You should view this as a giant unknown jigsaw puzzle. And it's a race to who can figure out what the subject matter is. I know for some, this may seem like I've lost my mind, somewhat confusing, and ignoring the pain and suffering that is going out there, with much more to come. I am not. But what I will not allow myself to do is get caught up like a deer in the headlights to the worst times we've seen in our generation and perhaps longer. I must be sensitive to what is happening, but not overwhelmed, that I cannot keep my wits about me to absorb, to evaluate, make assumptions and decisions that are best for me, my family, and my clients. Because in the end, it's that clarity of thought, that open-mindedness, and willing to listen and act like you have never done before in your life, which will be the difference between those that survive and thrive and the rest of the people in companies. So the message is and continues to be, read, listen, watch, evaluate, and above all, stay open-minded. This time is like no other time that you've experienced in the past. And by the way, the future will be exactly the same way, and you are in control of being a winner. Read more, think more, talk more, figure it out in the upcoming weeks. Because every single day you add knowledge to your equation, you're better off and better prepared for the next round of whatever's coming. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the week. And as always, if you like the podcast, share it. And if you're so inclined, take a moment and do a review. Look forward to talking to you soon. I'm Jim Bakiai, and my podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.